name is Marco Canelli. I'm a second grade detective in the NYPD. At the age of 12, fascinated at how much of our movie and made me curious, and ultimately made me, after grabbing from a seventh grade reading list, like a hero that you had interesting, and when my curiosity was piqued, I usually followed something pretty good. What he referred to as the, I challenged myself, even at a young age, to heighten my levels of observation, and I'm glad I became an undercover in the narcotics division. My father, thank you, that was very nice of you to mention that. My father's still alive. Realized what he did for a living, and a lot of people don't want to, yeah, they take that, but, this memory I have, and it was from 1981, watching television on a Friday night, and
We watched it last night.
We got an airbrush, William. No, I remember this very well, Wolf. He's the best, and those words pretty much created a monster. So I remember that, and again, off to the library, and I discovered the world. Learned about orchids and foods that we never really tackled in a middle class family. And I absolutely loved the assembly at the end of each book to reveal the murderer, and it was kind of a cool. Thanks to Mr. Sherlock Holmes and Mr. Neer, I had to be a detective. All right, that was it. We're not doing anything else. The respectable way to go about doing this was to join the New York City. My obsession was really flared by this. Mentally and thoroughly, by the age of 19, hired and trained, that doesn't exist anymore. My mindset, had I done anything in a shorter period of time, graduating from the New York City Police Department, I was considered at that time the most dangerous neighborhood in the world. Yankee Stadium, that's where it all started. Learned the police work. But after having 2 years of service, the minimum required service, become off probation and apply for a different position, I did. And I wanted to be an undercover in the narcotics division. I submitted my application, and basically within maybe 6 months, Organized Crime Control Bureau at that time was Broken Narcotics Division, public most, we call VICE now, and no crime. And this has expanded into a few more units over the years. I do in part to my youth facing audiences, indoctrinated firmly into being an undercover cop before any of those characteristics, that guy is a cop, because you develop habits and mannerisms. You try to really unlearn these things to get into the homes of drug dealers, organized, make them feel comfortable among me. Again, unlearning a major part of what, what I tried so hard to learn was, it was something to overcome, and I just because very easily. And now, I'd like to briefly describe when I was young and I first started in bust operations. Operated with a field team of police. I was the undercover, and basically my car would be a point-to-point radio to communicate. On my body was attached what we refer to as a transmitter. It is a small box wired by 2 9-volt batteries. Has 2 wires. One is a microphone, one is an antenna, okay? This, years later, I got to go and see where they made these things, okay? They're in a field in Clearwater, Florida, where there's nothing, and they put this on your body and say, walk all the way, hey, we hear you fine, all right? In the South Bronx, there's buildings and trains and that kind of thing, right? Well, the real kicker about this instrument was, it's 1 watt, that's the level of audio, is 1 watt. I'm slow. And this is being transmitted into your supervisor's car where he's gonna, and that. I had a friend who's a real tech wizard, and he stood me even out of my body. He had a level meter to read this 1 watt of the device. Yeah, it was 1 watt. When it's applied to your body, it became 1/10. I really was very firm. A lot of people didn't like the comfortableness of people listening to them, monitoring them. We had code words, apartments, of an apartment building. Code word I got installed. Got over this wire into the receiver, and I'll get back to Mr. Holmes. I'm walking into a room and observing as much as I possibly could in a short time, period of time, study them, why are they doing this? They got a question. They're playing a major risk factor in their organized crime business. You know, the Holmes were very, definitive on this. I want to give my field team the mess jacket, hefty blue jeans. Got to get very descriptive, and it's not always one person. Successful through forcing myself to practice it. I got to go to the bank to make a withdrawal. What's he wearing? Turn around, recite it, look at them again. You know, a lot of testing the mind. All right? Very, it was very doable. I realized it was doable. and I did it. They could have been the best undercover. They could have walked out and couldn't tell you if the guy was Chinese, Japanese, Hispanic, white, black. It was done had it not been for reading. But when my success rate at doing this became very good, I was selected for what we refer to as long-term. Long-term, my operation consists of, we're no longer on the stocking them up a couple of minutes later, dealing with somebody, and, you know, large amounts of drugs. Well, they start a small amount of drugs, and we're setting up to meet them again, and we'll go back and pay a visit, and maybe we'll buy a little bit more, and we're going to take them up a scale. We're going to take them up a scale in the legal division, where they'll sell me something that'll be the equivalent. Amazing. Drugs are a big thing in the law. Guns aren't this big. If you buy one gun or 100 guns on the street, charge. So we always like to incorporate the drugs with the gun. Parties, it was fantastic. So while I was still a kid, and I personally, I feel a certain age doesn't grant you the title of a man, you know, that's something you earn. I was only about 23 years old. I ended up traveling pretty extensively in the, I delved in conspiracy crimes that filtered in and out and around New York, but were outfitted as far away as Moscow. Travel experience. I had no children, no wife. I mean, I have a family, but I couldn't speak to my family. I have a casework. I was at a very young age, a very, very lonely existence. And it's an existence that was away from me, that I experienced, well, party assignments in constant danger, parity between myself and the character. Now, I was barely 115 pounds, so it wasn't all weight. I realized that Mr. Wolf, he worked with Don a lot on a personal level. And my life and the sacrifice I made, I was going to be promoted. And nothing in the world was going to stop me from being the same title as my idol. Not having a lot of life experiences, and, you know, in this job at the age of 20, actually took a lot of guidance from the characters. You know, I really liked, if you read these values, and they always felt they were my good guys. And I remember one point, still at the age of 23, having a long-term investigation that ran counterclockwork with a federal law enforcement agency. Basically, when they discovered we were looking at the same people, launching a good amount of work into this, I was getting shook, all right? And it was hard to find anyone. You know, you can go to your command officer, you can go here, and, you know, they'll usually retreat. Officer, no, this is being handled federally. We're going to give everything off to them. In fact, give everything you did up to them. It was a 23-year-old kid. This was out. And actually, you know, you had to be careful because you could be like, stepping on your tail and your. That didn't stop me. Because you know what? I was at the time currently rereading a novel called The Doorbell Rang. Right? And I refused to be bullied by a man in his organization. I'm 38, and what I find admirable, country, you know, we're obviously serving America, the years surrounding World War II, as chairman of the War Writers Board. But whatever Red Stout did, there was just good intent, is it what made a ranking system in schools, or just simply giving us the best mystery, whatever it was really fueled by his heart. And today, I filled a great role, serving the police department, still alleging in the law, bumped heads on a daily basis. I became a published author, and my first book in my character, Matthew Living, choosing young adults. Why? People always grab, you're a detective, grab kids at a young age, and you get them ready. And I mean, I can't overemphasize how much it helped me, it was almost like, it was like trying to reinvigorate America. And when I think about America, I just can't help. Now, I always carry heavy pre-rolls, like my pocket watch. And on the rear of the pocket watch, it's inscribed, "Man must have freedom, or he will see." I had wanted to speak about what the vision of our child. I'm going to say no at this time, but I was really, had to read it, lived it. If my character, Matthew Livingston, is 17, there are hints of Mr. Wolf and Mr. Holmes, and a little bit of me. They're alike in that, I believe you may read it and describe them as arrogant, and I'm sure Mr. Wolf will tell you what. They detest a blatant lack of common sense, and as well as those who rely on others to reveal the obvious. And And so this comes out in my character. You'll see Matthew Livingston, he's really a loner in high school. Loner in his own life. He's a bit of a loner, much the way his author was, and, you know, much the way I was. So, another bit, Matthew is narrated. His books are narrated Dennis Summers. And Dennis is 16. He's immediately, like, you know, the underdog, can complain about anything from the clothes he wears to the hair, that he doesn't fit in with this and that. And you only get to see Matthew Livingston through Dennis's eyes, much the way, you know, John Watson showed you Sherlock Holmes and Archie Goodwin showed you Nero. Mr. Sound really encapsulated a changing landscape, and the characters don't really age. My guy, he's going to be 17 for a real long time. That's just where his story is. In book two, which we'll see, young adults, I've learned that young adults can really hit. My first foray into it, I was careful with what we could introduce, mild form, you know, threat, and I realized what my audience was. It's tentatively titled Matthew Livingston and the Millionaire Murder. I think it'll go. A lot of corns with, much the way Nero Wolf did with Inspector Kramer and Lucinda. I'd just like to say, you know, as a writer who's very critical, often like, I was speaking to my doctor once, and he said, I can't suspend my disbelief. I'm very proud. You're not going to have to suspend your disbelief much past the age of 17, 17, and 16 if my characters for a long time. But I have to give a lot. Walls were dead on. The locations were right. The terminology was brilliant. I'll tell you right now, if you read a New York mystery, all right, I should stand on a table so you'll always remember this. It's a mistake, and I said standing on. There is no such rank or designation as detective sergeant. Okay, you have sergeants in the detective bureau. You have sergeants that supervise detectives. All right, there is no such rank. So when you have in New York City a homicide, a detective sergeant, no. All right, let's put the book down. All right. I'd really like to answer any questions you have. Involving a current investigation or something, I really enjoy being a part of the whole pack.
Okay, let's go. It's sort of a two-parter, but it's really problems on the same thing.
I'll give you both points.
Thanks. What are the ranks in the band, since this would be organized crime, you're not involved, in the Plexico Burris case, it's reported that the Giants talked to a high-ranking officer, a lieutenant, and the police department said, are they, and what is the rank, how do the ranks go?
I graduated the police academy. I became driving a radio car. I took this assignment. My goal was to be, you know, what detective, all right? Yes, it's different lines of the law, but anyway. That is what we call a career path. I went into a career that rewarded that. My merit has earned me in the last year that I'm willing, we're going to get to first grade. You take a promotion exam. If you're a patrol detective, I didn't. This is my own project, okay? Sergeants generally advise police officers on the whole level. If they're lucky, they'll be indoctrinated into detective squads. If they have maybe a career path of handling investigations, they can go into it. Sergeant takes a promotional exam, he becomes in it, and largely seen in precincts will be behind the desk. You'll see the desk lieutenant. He will monitor the command that is turning out for that tour with a sergeant on patrol, you know, maybe a second sergeant. He's one above him. After that, you take the promotion exam to become a captain, basically can be the executive officer. But his goal is, if he takes a precinct, it reduces crime, he does a great job, designated the rank, it's no longer an exam, deputy inspector, from their inspector. Okay, with Placido, yes, they spoke to a lieutenant. You know what? A lieutenant on his shoulders and knows his work. Yes, he's a ranking officer and he's fit to answer those. Doesn't require much more than a lieutenant to handle that. Doesn't require a sergeant to handle that.
I think it requires a shrink to handle that.
I'll take you up on this question. Is that satisfactory?
Yes, thank you.
Satisfactory.
One more? In the back?
Oh, I'm from Massachusetts and we reached a valid question about decriminalizing marijuana, ounce or less of marijuana and possession. Fine, you have to go to like class, not therapy,
sure,
but like a dog, etc. Do you think that was the, everybody voted yes to
as an undercover However, when I buy marijuana, it's only a misdemeanor unless law looks at, they have their programs in New York, they're called alternative. Big scheme of things, it was, and, you know, if he does walk around.
I have pot and drugs, or is marijuana just all?
I think, excuse me, but I think that's getting us a little bit far.
No,
I've seen both avenues where it is and it isn't. So,
yes, we have just one more. Can we make it more related to Marco's? Hi, Kevin. To Marco's specific experience.
I would, but we have tremendous ego. No one can figure anything out but ourselves. Do I personally feel that way? No, but. He became a police inspector of, you know, homicide. That's, that's something, we're not gonna let amateur investigators, solve our crimes for us. Yeah, would I want it? Yeah, of course, but that's such great stories because of people.
We'll do two more, but make the question short, no speeches. Steve?
Look at this. They look at your attitude. A lot of training went into blending in our attitude. But that's what got you over. The major case investigations, they would sprout around the world dealing with people behind. The public never saw that. Me pulling your attitude. It could come back to you the next day, and it happened many times, that, wait, I saw you before, I got locked up. You saw me? You didn't see me. You must have seen something like me because you didn't see me. You know, your attitude got you over. Get them to take a chance on you. You can do it. Yes, it could. But you have to believe, not the old edge. Pick up a garbage can and...
One last question. Yes, you. We're going to have a private investigator talking on the program.
Briefly, I think very little by somebody who subsequently became. I don't see it a lot.
I want to thank Marco tremendously. As you well know, he is a member of the Wolf Pack. Feel free to talk with him afterwards.
For those who are interested, how can we get
on? If you're on the computer, everybody's got it. It's really, really doing well out of it.
And use the link through the Wolf Pack website, neurowolf.org, and link to Amazon.
The cover has changed from the website. This is the re-release of it, but you have young readers. You don't even have to be a young reader. You've got a Wolf. Thank you. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.